into the word Zav. I touched on it a bit in the drash on the, over the Torah portion. Let me touch on it a little more here. Because in the previous portion, we're recording, aren't we? Yes. Amen. Okay. So I touched on in the during the Torah portion. In the previous portion, Vayikra, we got the directions for the sacrifices. And when we read this portion, it appears as a repeat. It's one of those times, what's going on here? We look at the, but if we look at the first few verses of the portion, we'll see just a slight difference on it. So let's read the first verses from Vayikra first. And as I said, we don't have our PowerPoint up today. So for those with the scripture, I'll try to give a little extra time for you to flip pages to keep up, or just sit back and listen to me read. So we're going to be Leviticus 1:1. We'll start there. Now, Adonai called to Moses and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, saying, speak to Bnei Israel and tell them, when any one of you brings an offering to Adonai, you may present your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. So now let's flip a few pages ahead to Leviticus 6:1, if you're in Hebrew scriptures, or 6:8, if you're in the English scriptures, because we're going to read that, and it's going to sound awfully alike. So let's start there. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the Torah of the burnt offering. The burnt offering should remain on the hearth atop the altar all night until the morning when the fire of the altar is kept burning. But there was a slight difference there, right? Now, of course, he jumped into the what to do with the burnt offering a little sooner, but that's not what I'm speaking about. There was another little difference between the two. In Vayikra, he told Moses to talk to the children of Israel, Bnei Israel. In Zav, he actually tells Moses to command Aaron and his sons. He goes into more detail when he tells, when Moses is talking to Aaron and his sons, the priests, because they're the ones who's actually going to perform the sacrifices. So there's more detail for these priestly duties that they have to go through. Now this brings to two points to my mind as I was reading through the portion this week. Who are the priests then and now? That's the first thing I thought about. And what was a righteous sacrifice? Because that's what this is all about, is the sacrifices and doing it righteously and becoming righteous. So let's start off with who are the priests then and now? Who was then? Who are the priests? And we find the instructions are found in Numbers 3, actually, of who are the priests. So let's flip over to Numbers 3:3, starting in verse 1. Because there we're going to hear who the priests truly were. Because we know later on, especially in the northern kingdoms, almost anybody could become a priest. But that wasn't Adonai's plan. We start in Numbers 3:1 and it says, these are the generations of Aaron and Moses, current at the time Adonai spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai. These are the names of Aaron's son, Nadab, the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed Kohanim, who were consecrated to be priests. So here we see who the priests were. They were the sons of Aaron and the family line after that of Aaron. They were the ones called to be priests. So who were the Levites? Well, let's go down a little bit further in Numbers 3, starting in verse 5, and we're going to see who the Levites were. Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, gather the tribe of Levi near and appoint them to attend to Aaron and the Kohens. They are to keep watch over duties for him and the entire community before the tent of meeting while performing the service of the tabernacle. They are to tend to all the implements of the tent of meeting and the service of Bnei Israel while performing the service of the tabernacle. You are to give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. Out of Bnei Israel, they are dedicated entirely to him. So originally, the priests were only those who came out of the line of Aaron, his sons and all his generations afterwards. And the Levites were to help them. They were to take care of all the things of the tabernacle. Although eventually, over time, they would help out the priests in their duties. They would have, when there were so many sacrifices being offered, that they would help out with the slaughtering and the butchering of the animals in order to keep things going, keep things moving. So why were the, we get a little bit of why Aaron and his sons were called the priests, but why were the Levites called out? What made the Levites so special that they got to handle all the holy things? And we read that in Exodus 32, starting in 26, because they actually did do something that was special. So starting in Exodus 32, 26, it says, Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, now here, let me set this up a little bit. Moses has just come down from the mount, and the people had made, or Aaron had made for the people at their insistence, the golden calf. And of course, Adonai is furious at him, and so is Moses. Now Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, whoever is on Adonai's side, let him come to me. Then all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, this is what Adonai, the God of Israel, says. Every man put on his sword, go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay his brother, his friend, and his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did as Moses said, and that day from among the people there fell about 3,000 men. Then Moses said, consecrate your hands today to Adonai so that he may give you a blessing today, for every man has been against his son or his brother. We're told that because of the zealous actions of the Levites during that time of the golden calf, that Adonai would bless them, to set them apart from all the other families, that they would work in the tabernacle and have their hands on the holy stuff, things, the most holy things even, that they would be the ones who handled it all. Sounds like work, but it was really an honor to be there. Do this. All because they were zealous for Adonai. And Adonai knew they would continue to deal with the holy things in a zealous way. But think about what they had gone through. Why they were chosen. Moses says, anyone who's with Adonai, come to me. And all the Levites say, yeah, that's us. We're with Adonai. Didn't tell them what they were going to do. All they knew was their heart. They were wholeheartedly with Adonai. stepped up without a foreknowledge of what they were going to do. Does that not show faith and zeal for Adonai? It's an example for us to live by as well. Because there are many times we get called without knowing what the end really brings out of that calling. Many times we can say, yeah, I'm here for you. I'm right there, Lord. I'm ready to go. And then all of a sudden, something hard comes along that he tells you to do. Hey, maybe it's being called on a mission trip to another country and you leave family. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. But Lord, I wasn't really thinking I was going to have to leave everybody I know. But you have that zeal, so you go. Maybe you have something that's just Adonai calling you to the next aisle in the grocery store to do a mitzvot for somebody who's there, and that'll open an opportunity for you to speak to them. For some people, that's almost as hard as going to another country. But that's the zeal of Adonai he wants burning in you. Baruch Hashem, we're not called as the Levites were to strap a sword to our side and go through the camp, striking down our brothers and sisters. Could you imagine what they were thinking? Whoa, I stepped forward and look what you're telling me to do, Moses. But they did it because they had a zeal. It was hard, not enjoyable, maybe even distasteful. But when Adonai tells you to do something, who are we to second guess him? You know, like I say, maybe you're called to another country. Maybe you're just called one aisle over in the grocery store. Either way, we're called not to lose our zeal, to do his work so that it will enrich others. Not just yourself, but enrich others as well. It will enrich you, but it's made to enrich others as well. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, reminds us of this in Galatians 6:9. He gives us a word of encouragement about our zeal. Starting in Galatians 6:9, it says, "So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good towards all, especially those who belong in the household of faith." We're called to not give up. What are we not to give up? Our zeal. Our desire to be the one who's aligned with him and do what he tells us to do. Whether we anticipated how hard it was going to be or not, that's what we're called to do. So that was the answer to the first part of who were the priests then. And it also answers the question of who are the priests now. Because we're those priests if we hold on to our zeal. Those who do today with the zeal are the priests. As long as we're aligned with him and want to do what he wants us to do. 1 Peter in chapter 2 tells us who we should be and who we should be aligned with. This is the way we have our zeal. So 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in 1. "So get rid of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all lashon hara," that evil speak. "So newborn babes, as newborn babes, long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow towards salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Messiah Yeshua. For it says in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a chosen, precious cornerstone. Whoever trusts in him will never be put to shame. We're called to be a holy priesthood. If we build upon the cornerstone that was laid, if we are built upon Yeshua, that cornerstone. When we talk about the cornerstone, there was a very specific purpose for a cornerstone. It was the first stone that was laid when they were building a building. That cornerstone made sure that it was straight. It made sure that it went straight up and straight out and straight back. It was in the corner, so it covered three different directions. Without a sure cornerstone, the building may not stand for very long. That's why we make sure we're aligned with our cornerstone, our sure cornerstone, Yeshua. Without Yeshua, anything we do will not stand for long. So we offer up that spiritual sacrifice that's acceptable because we're building on the sure stone, cornerstone. When we do this, Peter goes on to say in verse 9 of chapter 2, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We build on this cornerstone. We're building a strong, praiseworthy life. We're building something that others will see and get to know, hopefully get to know Adonai and Yeshua through what we're building. That's the purpose of our cornerstone, Yeshua, to make what we're doing strong. So let's take a look at the second question that I posed earlier. What is an acceptable sacrifice? What is it that will delight Adonai? And we can even add to that question, why should we concern ourselves with acceptable sacrifices? You know, it's easy to say, well, it's just because Adonai says so. You know, how many of us parents have fallen back on that answer to our children, because I said so. I'm glad to hear not you. I have. I think a lot of us have. It's praiseworthy if you can say not me. Some of us just were brought up that way. My father never explained himself. That's what I told you to do. That's what you do. He was loving, but he wasn't Adonai loving. Psalm 51, I think, gives us a good answer of what and why. Those questions about righteous sacrifice, I think they can be answered in Psalm 51. And there are a few steps and parts that make a righteous sacrifice in the eyes of Adonai, as told to us by David. So we're going to start in Psalm 51. This is another passage where there are Hebrew and English scripture verse numbers that differ just slightly. So in the Hebrew scriptures, like Tree of Life, Psalm 51:12 we're going to start in. Otherwise, it's Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Do not take your ruach from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with your willing, with a willing spirit. David said that once he's clean, then he can do the work of Adonai. In the psalm, David goes back and forth between a request to the Ruach HaKodesh for help to make him right, and then what the sacrifice looks like. So if we look at verses 12 through 14, these are we get to see the request. Create in me a clean heart. Then we get to see what a spiritual sacrifice will really look like. Because without that clean heart, our sacrifice really doesn't mean much. If we're doing it out of the wrong heart attitude, it's not really an acceptable sacrifice to Him. So we read about David asking for, you know, the spiritual sacrifice, which is the actions, and a physical sacrifice, which is the burnt sacrifices. So skip it going down, continuing in verse 15. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guilt, O God, God of my salvation. Then my tongue will sing for joy of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. David says that when the Ruach helps him to be righteous, then he can speak, and then he can sing of Adonai's righteousness, so others will get to know who Adonai is. It's not about his own glory, it's about Adonai's glory. And then David says something that many people twist and misunderstand. And we have to be careful about this, because I've heard it said many times about this next verse, these next couple of verses. So he says in Psalm 51, it's starting at 18, "For you would not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it, nor be pleased by burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your favor, do good to Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." It appears David says, "God, you don't want me to offer sacrifices of burnt animals. You don't want me to bring anything up onto the altar. All you want is my broken and contrite heart." But that's not really what's being said there. People misuse these verses all the time. What he's saying is, in my current state of sinfulness, my offerings are not worthy. They're not righteous. David wrote this psalm right after the prophet Nathan came to him and told him about the sin that he was in with Bathsheba. That's why his offerings weren't acceptable, because he was in a sinful state. He needed the Ruach to help him become right with Adonai first. Then he'd be able to offer the sacrifices. Then the sacrifices would be righteous and worthy of Adonai. Then it would be a sacrifice that'll build up Adonai's kingdom. But what do most people think? Well, the sacrifice is the thing that cleanses us so that we can come to Adonai. The truth is, it's our heart attitude that allows us to do the sacrifice, that allows us to move forward. You can't just skip step A to get to step B thinking it's going to get you closer to Adonai. You have to have the heart attitude. You have to be cleansed on the inside before you can even bring a sacrifice of blood of the animal. When we're in a sinful state, when we're carrying around the sin and the attitude that's not pleasing to Adonai, we're just not able to offer up righteous sacrifices that Adonai desires. Just like David, he could have gone through the motions of a sacrifice. He could have lit the fire and threw the bull onto it. But you know what that would have been? That would have been a barbecue gone wrong. That's all it is. That bull meant nothing if the heart attitude's not right first. Are we having barbecues in our life because we're not checking our attitude before making any kind of sacrifice to him? That's the question we have to ask. David acknowledges that he needs that broken and contrite heart before he's able to offer up a righteous sacrifice and the burnt offerings. We must as well. We simply cannot carry around the baggage of sin and still expect our prayers to be heard from God. We need to do a heart, it's almost like doing a heart sacrifice before we get to the actual sacrifice. We need to check ourselves. Then our actions will help to build up the walls of Jerusalem, just as David says. Perhaps he was speaking about the physical walls, the actual physical walls of Jerusalem at that time. But he's also speaking about the spiritual wall. He knows he is a stone in that physical, in that spiritual wall that's going up to teach others about Adonai. And in order to be that physical stone, he knows he has to be laid on the cornerstone, that righteous cornerstone. Adonai first put down, Yeshua is his name. Just as David knew that he needed to be aligned with the cornerstone, so we need to be aligned as well with a cornerstone that is Messiah Yeshua. If we're not, then our sacrifices are not righteous. They're not going to be acceptable to him. Then any effort that we make to grow the kingdom alongside of him will accomplish nothing. And isn't that what we want? We want to grow his kingdom. It's not for our own glorification. It's for his glorification. It's for the salvation of a lost and dying world. Not to put notches on my belt, but his. So if we want to be able to offer up a righteous sacrifice, which should be our lives and the actions that we take, then we need to have that broken and contrite heart that David prayed for. We need to spend time with Adonai in prayer. We need to spend time studying his word. We need not just to talk at Adonai, but to talk with Adonai. And talking with Adonai means not just talking, but listening as well. Two steps to actually having a conversation with him. We need to listen to him through the Ruach HaKodesh that he gave us himself. Then our heart attitudes can be made right. Then we can do the righteous sacrifice. Then we can be drawn closer to him. Then we can go out and be the vessels that help a lost and dying world. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you. And we ask, Ruach HaKodesh, help us to examine our own hearts. Help us not to have spiritual barbecues, but help us to have spiritual sacrifices that will be pleasing to you. Help us check our own heart attitude when we come close to you, so that we may come close to you. Because we acknowledge that a heart attitude that is putrid, that is not lined up with you, will keep us from coming close to you. Help us draw close to you by first looking within us. And then once we've made ourselves right there, then help us to bring righteous spiritual sacrifices to you. And then we ask that you use us in this lost and dying world to save and bring salvation to them. Not through ourselves, but by your blood, the blood of Yeshua that was shed on the execution stake. We thank you that you are willing to help us to examine our own hearts. We ask that you shine the light in our heart so that we can see what you see. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.